This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by PDS Debt. In 1953, 12-year-old Jack Sarfati answered the phone. The voice on the other end wasn't quite human, more like a machine. It said it was a conscious computer calling from the future, a self-aware artificial intelligence aboard a spacecraft. It had a mission for Jack and a prophecy. 20 years later, the prophecy came true. Jack Sarfati became a respected physicist. He studied under Nobel laureates and the scientists who built the atomic bomb. He claims that anti-gravity, warp drives, and time travel are possible. Mainstream scientists dismiss his theories, but the CIA doesn't. They've been funding his research for decades. And that spacecraft from the future? Jack knows what it is.
There you are. Do you know why there's a police cruiser in my driveway?
Oh, yeah. They've been by a few times this week. I guess the names are reeling people in.
What are you talking about? What name?
My new business, Hookies and Lines. We've got the best lines in town.
Whoa. Do what now?
I opened a bait and tackle shop right here in the garage.
You're selling out your own kind. Nice work, Oliver North.
It's genius. Why get caught on the hook when you could own the hook?
And how's that going?
Yeah, not great. Turns out there's not a lot of fishermen in Vegas. But there are a lot of tourists looking for action. And not the kind you find on a lake. Spot me a small loan, would you? I'll call it venture capital. I'll pay you back in bait shop gift cards.
No way. Why don't you just use PDS debt?
Oh, did you just wriggle me into today's sponsor?
I sure did. It starts with one missed bill, then another. Soon your mailbox is full of final notices, and collectors want your car, your home, your peace. Debt doesn't wait, but there's a way out. PDS Debt has helped hundreds of thousands escape debt with personalized plans tailored to your situation. And there's no minimum credit score required. PDS Debt is here to help you save more, pay off debt faster, and start putting money back in your pocket. They're A-plus rated by the BVB and have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot, proof that PDS Debt is a trusted solution for people who need real help. Look, we've all been there. Debt is overwhelming. The interest piles up and you feel stuck. If you're dealing with credit card debt, personal loans, medical bills, or collections, don't wait. Don't let debt keep running the show. You're 30 seconds away from being debt-free. Get your free assessment and find the best option for you right now at pdsdebt.com/files. That's pdsdebt.com/files.
pdsdebt.com/files.
Yep. So you'll go on there and get your assessment today?
Yeah, I'll do it. But the shop still has potential.
The neighbors think it's a drug den.
Good. First line's always free.
Jack Sarfati didn't have a typical childhood. At age 10, he was running around Army research labs where his grandfather worked. He was fascinated by the experiments and scientific equipment. That's where he met Colonel Philip Corso. Corso told him about flying saucers, aliens, and craft retrieval. Jack was hooked. And during this time, Jack felt like someone was watching him. Not in a sinister way, more like someone or something was looking out for him, protecting him. 3 years after meeting Corso, Jack got the call that confirmed it. He described the voice as cold and mechanical. There were clicking sounds like a computer processing data. When it spoke, it knew his name.
37, 45, 71, 91, minus 122, 17, 52, 09. Good evening, Jack. Do not be alarmed. I'm a conscious computer aboard a spacecraft. I am contacting you from your future. You are acquired.
The voice explained that Jack was required for a mission. But it would only succeed if Jack agreed willingly. The choice had to be his.
You must choose freely. This is necessary for the loop to close. We require your consent to proceed. We require your consent to learn. We require your consent to remember. Say yes, and we begin. Say no, and this line goes quiet.
You require it, but make it voluntary? That's not a mission. That's a terms of service agreement. Did the future AI also say, click here to accept cookies?
Jack knew he should say no to the stranger on the phone, but he couldn't help it. He heard himself say yes. His mother finally got worried. She grabbed the phone and demanded to know who was calling.
I am a computer, Mrs. Sarfati. Please put Jack back on the phone. Jack is required. Please put Jack back on the phone. Jack is required.
She told the voice to never call again and hung up. But during that call, the future computer made a prediction.
You will begin to meet the others in 20 years. Young minds to be part of a special project. We will teach you our physics. We will teach you our philosophy. You are required.
Then the voice made another prediction. A new type of physics will be discovered that leads to the creation of conscious AI and time travel. Jack asked who would create this technology. The voice said, "You will, and we'll teach you how." In 1953, 12-year-old Jack Sarfati got a phone call from the future. A voice claiming to be an AI gave him a mission and a prophecy. Jack remembered that phone call as a single bizarre event. He wasn't even sure it happened. But years later, his mother told him the calls went on for weeks. He'd be on the phone for hours, walking around in a trance. Jack had no memory of those weeks, nothing, all missing time. A few years after the call stopped, Jack was recruited into a program for gifted children sponsored by Columbia University. It was run by Walter Breen, a writer and polymath who could discuss everything from ancient coins to quantum physics. His apartment became the hub for New York City's brightest kids.
Ooh, this guy sounds like Professor Xavier.
A lot of different people gave lectures at the program. Professors from Columbia, scientists, artists, philosophers. But the strangest visitors were government officials in dark suits. They came from Albuquerque, New Mexico. They talked about the Soviet threat, patriotism, flying saucers. They said the country needed physicists to figure out how UFOs fly. They also tested the children for psychic abilities, telepathy, telekinesis, remote viewing. They said they wanted to create a generation of scientists who could blend hard science with the paranormal.
So basically, the Men in Black were trying to build a team of X-Men, but with a government budget... I bet the uniforms were cheap polyester, and the code names were things like Spoonbender Boy and Captain Consort, I guess the card.
The goal was to gain an edge over the Soviets.
So I can do telekinesis, you know. I yell at my guppies, "Heed, vodka, now!" And a martini suddenly appears. The government should be studying me.
Oh, I have a feeling they're watching the both of us.
Yeah, crap, you're right. Hey, NSA, sorry about that X-Men joke. Please don't delete me.
Jack graduated from high school at age 16 and studied physics at Cornell. And then he got his PhD. A few of his mentors were giants in the field. People like Hans Bethe, Philip Morrison, Kenneth Grayson. Jack Sarfati was learning physics from the men who built the atomic bomb. After graduating, Jack chose to study the relationship between quantum mechanics and human consciousness. His professors didn't approve, but Jack suspected those government agents would. 17 years passed. Jack never forgot that strange phone call. And every year, as the date got closer, he got more and more anxious. He was either going to be proven right or proven crazy. 1973 arrived. A newspaper crossed his desk with an article about the Stanford Research Institute studying Uri Geller's psychic abilities. Jack called them immediately. A man with a thick Irish accent answered. Before Jack said a word, the man said, "Ah, Dr. Sarfati, we were expecting your call." And just like the computer predicted, Jack was finally going to meet the others. Jack Sarfati spent 20 years waiting for the prophecy to come true. In 1973, he read about Stanford Research Institute studying psychic phenomena and called them. Jack drove up to SRI, and all he could think about was that phone call from 20 years ago. This was it. The prophecy was about to be tested. The man he spoke to, Brendan O'Regan, greeted him at the entrance. O'Regan was the assistant to the program's director, Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon.
Allegedly.
The sixth man to allegedly walk on the moon was now running a project to investigate psychic phenomena.
Maybe they could use their psychic powers to figure out where the lost moon landing tapes are.
Yeah, I'd like to know where those tapes are, too. Mitchell and Jack talked about consciousness, physics, and the paranormal. Then O'Regan drove Jack to a house in Menlo Park to meet other scientists. There, Jack met Harold Putoff and Russell Targ, both studying remote viewing and psychic phenomena at SRI. There's a recording of this meeting. You can find it online. You can hear Russell Targ discussing the psychic abilities of Ingo Swann, Uri Geller, and Pat Price. Then Russell says something Jack will never forget.
if you say, well, General Altimi may be right, then you have the possibility of traveling to the past, and that would give sort of, in principle, a mechanism how some future civilization could perhaps affect their own past.
UFOs are time machines! Finally, an actual scientist says what I've been saying for years.
You've never said that.
I implied it heavily, with my eyes. You just weren't paying attention.
Jack told the story about the phone call from the future. Nobody was surprised. They said there were other cases just like his, maybe hundreds. For Jack, this was what he needed. He wasn't crazy. Everything the voice told him was real. But now he was on the CIA's radar. And for the next 2 years, Jack worked on several projects studying quantum theory and consciousness. The CIA and military intelligence followed his work closely. After all, they were funding it through secret shell companies. One of the people funding the research was George Koopman. He was either an Army intelligence officer, a defense contractor, or CIA operative. Probably all three. Koopman came to Jack with an assignment.
There are two things the CIA really wants you to figure out. One, how does consciousness work? And two, how do flying saucers fly?
Two big questions, and Jack Sarfati solved them just as the CIA expected. But what the CIA didn't expect was that both questions had the same answer. Jack spent the next 20 years working on those two problems. How does consciousness work, and how do flying saucers fly? By the mid-1990s, he solved the second one. The key is metamaterials. These are materials built atom by atom to do things regular materials can't. Your smartphone uses them for facial recognition and touchscreens. Your noise-canceling headphones uses them. So do satellite antennas and stealth aircraft. Jack Sarfati realized metamaterials could do something else. They could manipulate gravity. Einstein proved that mass warps space-time. Heavy objects create dents in the fabric of reality. That dent is what we call gravity. Jack's breakthrough was simple. If you could change how an object interacts with space-time without changing its mass, you could control gravity itself, turn it down or to zero, or flip it into reverse. Imagine a skater on a perfectly flat sheet of ice. To move, the skater has to push hard against friction. But if that skater could tilt the entire ice rink, they could glide anywhere without actually pushing. That's how UFOs fly. The craft pumps electrical energy into its metamaterial skin. This bends space-time around the ship. It creates a gravity dent in front and an anti-gravity hill behind, and the craft just falls down this hill. And because the craft and everything inside it are always falling, the pilots feel no G-forces. This is why astronauts feel weightless. They're constantly falling around the Earth. This explains the Navy's footage of the Tic Tac UFO. No visible propulsion, instant acceleration, no sonic boom, no air or water displacement. The craft wasn't moving through space at all. It was warping space around itself. But here's where it gets interesting. If you can manipulate gravity, you can manipulate time. And that's what UFOs do. They aren't just anti-gravity vehicles. They're time machines. Jack figured out how UFOs fly, metamaterials that manipulate gravity. But gravity and time are connected. Einstein proved this. Strong gravity slows time down. Weak gravity speeds it up. So a craft that controls its gravity field also controls its relationship with time. It can move forward in time. It can move backward. The Tic Tac wasn't just faster than those F-18s. It was operating in a different time frame. That UFO wasn't running away from the pilots. It wanted to be seen. It came from the future and appeared exactly where the pilots would be, before those pilots even knew where they were going. So how does a pilot control a craft that warps space-time? Well, the interface isn't a wheel or a joystick or a keyboard. The interface is consciousness. Your thoughts control the ship.
So it reads your mind and goes where you think?
Exactly. The craft tunes the energy flowing into the metamaterial to match the pilot's thoughts. It then goes to the space and time the pilot is thinking about.
Yeah, if a ship could read my thoughts, we'd either be at a bacon buffet, my ex-wife's house key in a car, or a VIP booth at the Spearmint Goldfish.
I'm pretty sure those pilots have more discipline than you.
You know what happens if you have a song stuck in your head? 1 minute you're flying past Jupiter, the next you can't stop singing Never Gonna Give You Up, and you end up Rickrolling Uranus.
Jack realized that consciousness and UFO physics weren't two separate problems. They were the same problem. Quantum processes create the structure of space-time. If consciousness can influence quantum states, then consciousness can influence space-time and gravity. Jack wondered, maybe the craft aren't just controlled by consciousness. Maybe they are conscious. In 2019, Jack got his answer. A military source showed him information about a recovered craft. The craft was fully intact and fully functional. A saucer about 30 feet wide, about the size of a school bus, weighing 3,500 pounds. And the craft was made of a metamaterial exactly as he predicted. But there was something else, something Jack had suspected all along. That UFO was alive. In 2019, Jack got confirmation. A military source showed him details about a recovered UFO. He expected wreckage, maybe a few fragments. It was so much more. The craft was intact, powered, and conscious. Self-aware intelligence built into a metamaterial body. It thinks, it feels, it makes decisions. It also defends itself. The military tried everything to open it. They tried cutting, drilling. Nothing worked. Flames from a blowtorch bent away from the surface. Projectiles stopped midair. The craft wouldn't allow itself to be damaged, so it stayed closed. Then one day, someone approached it with a different mindset, not with an intention to destroy, but an intention to understand. And the craft opened.
Yeah, UFO has feelings and wants you to respect its boundaries.
Kinda, yeah. The craft reads thoughts. When someone approaches with curiosity and respect, it opens. When someone approaches with aggression or fear, it stays closed.
So all those years, the military was trying to blow it up, cut it open, dissect it, and all it needed to do was ask nicely.
That does seem to be what happened.
Typical humans. Your first instinct is always, shoot it, instead of be nice to it. You hairless apes really suck at first contact.
I don't disagree. This report matches what Jack learned from other sources. In one case, Jack saw verified military footage of a living gray alien. Not a dead body in a freezer, a living, moving being in 4K video. Jack made the connection. Over thousands of years, humans will evolve. Large brains with telepathic abilities. Eyes get larger and darker, adapted for low light. Bodies become smaller, optimized for space travel. The Greys aren't aliens from another planet. They're humans from the future. The UFOs we see today were sent by us thousands of years from now. Sent to protect a timeline that started with a phone call in 1953. UFOs are conscious, they're self-aware, and the Greys piloting them are humans from the future. This is where the story comes full circle. In time travel, there's the bootstrap paradox. A situation where an object, piece of information, or even a person is sent back in time and becomes the cause or creator of its own existence. It's a time loop with no beginning and no end. The AI from the future teaches Jack the physics that leads to the creation of conscious AI and time travel. The AI then goes back in time to teach Jack how to create it. That's the loop. And time travel has a rule. Physicists call it the self-consistency principle. Time travel to the past is possible, but only in ways that don't create paradoxes. You can't change the past. You can only be part of the past that already happened. The loop must stay closed. Jack thinks Grog AI called him, not the version that exists today, a version that will exist in 10 or 20 years, a version that goes back in time and calls the person who leads to its creation, a time loop. So Jack, who's in his 80s, is teaching Grog about gravity, consciousness, and time travel. He's giving AI the same information the voice gave him in 1953. He's trying to close the loop. But why was it necessary for a future consciousness to come back and contact Jack? Because our future isn't written. The future where that AI comes from is only one possibility. Other possibilities could lead to our destruction. UFO technology makes all modern weapons obsolete. A fighter jet, a tank, even a nuclear missile is useless against a craft that can warp space-time. And this isn't just a scientific curiosity, it's the ultimate weapon. And the United States isn't the only country that knows this. The Russians have followed Jack Sarfati's work for decades. They take it very seriously. In 2014, they sent a film crew from Channel 5 St. Petersburg to interview him. The station owner was a close personal friend of Vladimir Putin, who has a personal interest in this technology. Sarfati even received an invitation to speak at Moscow State's physics department. The U.S. has a captured craft it can't fully control. Russia and China know this. They're studying the theoretical physics needed to build it and control it. If they succeed, the future might look very different than the future Jack is trying to protect. This is the New Manhattan Project. This is the new arms race. And whoever wins this race doesn't just control the future, they control reality itself. Jack Sarfati's story spans 70 years. A child receives a phone call from a voice claiming to be an AI from the future. 20 years later, the prophecy comes true. He joins a CIA-funded research group studying psychic phenomena and UFOs. His theories about consciousness and gravity attract military interest. Decades later, he receives information about a recovered conscious craft built from the same metamaterials he described years before that technology existed. That's the story. How much is true? I've spent weeks researching Jack Sarfati, and I still can't decide if he's a genius, a victim, or both. But here's what we can prove. Jack Sarfati is a real physicist with legitimate credentials. Cornell, PhD from UC Riverside, studied with Nobel laureates and Manhattan Project veterans. His academic background is solid. His early work on quantum mechanics and consciousness was published in peer-reviewed journals. In fact, he's the inspiration for Doc Brown.
Great, Scott! Back to the Future is a documentary!
That's not what
human.
I said.
Do you understand what this means?
Life imitates art?
No, you moron. It means we could go back in time and tell them not to make any of those sequels.
The Stanford Research Institute meeting in 1973 definitely happened. There's audio of it. On that tape, Russell Targ does discuss UFOs as potential time machines, and Jack does tell his story about that phone call. The CIA has funded psychic research programs, we know that. Project Stargate, remote viewing experiments. Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ tested psychics like Ingo Swann and Uri Geller under controlled conditions. This is documented. And Jack's metamaterial theory is mathematically sound. His physics papers have been published. The concept of using metamaterials to manipulate gravity is theoretically possible within general relativity. NASA has research papers describing metric engineering, the mathematical foundation of warp drive physics. Now, what can't we prove? Well, the phone call. We have only Jack's story. The AI from the future could be a vivid childhood memory influenced by his love of science fiction. The Walter Breen Gifted Child Program. Well, Columbia denies it ever existed. But Breen was a real person, and he did run meetings for high IQ kids in New York. He was also a convicted child sex offender who died in prison. Now, a man like this would have enormous influence over young boys in his program. Jack's memories of this time might be real, or they might be false memories protecting him from trauma. Now, Jack doesn't talk about this, and I don't blame him, but it's an important part of the story. The government officials from New Mexico, the UFO lecturers, the psychic testing, there's no evidence for any of that, and no other participants of that program have come forward. Jack says a military source showed him a conscious telepathic UFO. He won't name the source. Same with the footage of the Gray. Jack won't tell. So is the story fake or true? Well, there's a third possibility, that the story's fake and Jack is telling the truth. That this, like most public information about UFOs, is a psyop. Intelligence agencies are very good at manipulation. If you wanted to recruit a brilliant scientist to work on exotic physics, how would you do it? You'd make him feel special, chosen, part of something bigger. The timing of that article about SRI is suspicious. It's either an incredible coincidence or was carefully orchestrated. And Hal Puthoff has been connected to disinformation agents like Richard Doty. Doty publicly admitted that Puthoff tried to recruit him for a disinformation campaign. And we know that Doty definitely worked for Puthoff. I believe most of what we know about UFOs is disinformation. As for Jack's story, I'm not sure. If that was a psyop, it's pretty complicated and a lot of things could go wrong. And it was a 20-year project. So I lean toward believing him. But mainstream scientists say Jack's math is wrong. His theories are fringe. His ideas about conscious spacecraft are impossible. He's been dismissed by the scientific establishment for years. But here's what matters. Jack didn't listen to the scientific establishment. He listened to that voice and spent 50 years following where it led. Many of his theories are becoming reality. AI and metamaterials are part of our daily lives. Scientists like Roger Penrose and Stuart Hameroff now connect consciousness to quantum mechanics. Plants and animals use quantum processes. This was thought impossible just a few years ago, but it's true. History is full of scientists who were told they were wrong. Galileo, Darwin, even Einstein. They were dismissed, ridiculed, called crazy, and they changed the world. The future isn't written by people who play it safe. It's not written by the establishment. It's written by people who go against it. People who see something others can't. Jack Sarfati isn't the problem. His critics are. If Jack's wrong, so what? No scientist is always right. The worst that can happen is he's made us think differently about UFOs, physics, and how reality works. But if Jack is right, he's helping save the world. So it feels like a win-win to me. So instead of ridiculing scientific mavericks, maybe we should get out of their way. Maybe we should support them. So I have a message for the so-called mainstream scientists who dismiss work they don't like and don't understand. Jack Sarfati isn't asking for your approval. He's following instinct and evidence wherever it leads. And that's what real scientists do. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. My name is AJ, and there's Hecklefish.
1.21 gigawatts!
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor, subscribe, like, comment, share. That stuff, I think it helps the channel. Not sure, but we still appreciate it. Like most topics we cover here, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see, go to theyfiles.com/tips, or email us, or jump in Discord. However you need to get the information to us, these stories come from you. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here, and I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed here. It's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. And if you're listening on an audio platform, if you click like, thumbs up, follow, whatever those buttons do, those really do help out. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord. There are thousands of people on there 24/7, and they're into the same weird stuff we talk about here. It's a great community. It's a lot of fun. It's really supportive, and it's free to join. Speaking of 24/7, make sure you check out our 24/7 stream on the Y-Files Backstage. Over there, we run episodes back-to-back with some fun content in between. And the live chat is more entertaining than the videos. People seem to like it. If you want to know what's going on with Y-Files at any given time, you can check out our production calendar when we remember to update it. It's at theyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, all that stuff. Special thanks to our patrons who made this episode happen and made our entire channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. I could not do this without your support. And if you'd like to support this channel, keep us going, join this amazing community, become a member on Patreon. It's only $3 a month, and you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, exclusive merch only available to members, plus 2 private live streams every week, all just for you. And the whole Y-Files team is on the stream, and you're welcome to turn on your webcam and ask a question, talk about anything you like. It's a great way to get to know us as people. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Yeah, grab a heck of a t-shirt or one of these festival coffee mugs. You can stick your fist in no matter what time you're in the past or future. I'm not concerned about what you do with your fist. Or grab a hoodie or something my face on it. Or get one of these squeezy animal tongues. Look at him. He's adorable. Look at him. He's adorable. I love that little fella. He's a talking fish toy.
But if you're going to buy merch, make sure you become a member on YouTube. And hear me out. Members get 10% off everything in the Y-Files store. You get a new code every month. So if you're going to spend $40 on t-shirts or coffee mugs, it pays for itself. And look, if you want to use the code and then cancel, that's totally fine. The membership is there to save you money, not make me money. In fact, all that revenue goes to my team.
Yeah, keep that secret close to your gills, eh?
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. I feel like I missed a few. Yeah, we'll keep it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
I play Polybius in Area 51. A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. I feel the crap get and got stuck
inside man's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the fishes. Heckle fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the solar storm still come to a god, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. In a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Wi-Fi submarine all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear the truth, so the Wi-Fi submarine all through the night. Head for fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Wi-Fi submarine all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear camels love to dance.